You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Everywhere, everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
You're missing a couple of strings on this bass guitar. Is that how you learned it, and you never bothered to buy two new ones, or is there a plan?
After 2 years, I mean, what's the point spending money in another two? It's like two is enough. It's adequate. Anybody can play this bass.
Garage band. Do you think you're still a garage band now?
No, definitely we've progressed to a basement band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got inside the house now.
We're inside the house now.
Sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun.
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
I think that most music probably is, in a sense, or it's sort of an electronic thing or a mathematical thing, and that all exists in the molecular structure of the universe.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM. In the Windsor, Detroit area, I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Pelche. We're also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. And Adam, hello and welcome.
Hello, Dave, and hello all the listeners out there. We're very happy to present you this episode of Revolution Rock. As always, you can check us out online at revrock.blogspot.com. There we post some articles about the bands we love, the music we play, as well as posting our set list from previous episodes. We're going to be able to provide some more information about some of these groups coming up later on in a post, but a lot of stuff's going to be covered in this episode. We're going to be playing a feature of new music from Ty Segall from his previously released record, Three Bells. It dropped earlier this year, but it didn't quite get the attention it deserved because we were in the thrall of the new year, so we're going to be playing quite a few tracks from that. As well, we're going to be highlighting a brand new release from La Luz, which is preceding a forthcoming album, as well as new music from Idols, Vipers, and paying tribute to two anniversaries, one by Beck, and one, which is pretty big, the debut album from The Smiths. So there is a lot in store. One of the big stories, though, coming out this week is brand new music from Tandoori Knights.
Yeah, I believe it came at the end of February. I'd have to double-check the date. But yeah, new album in, I forget how many years. I think it's like about 12 years since the last...
Yeah, exactly. It has been 12 years. You're right.
So this is a group featuring Bloodshot Bill and King Khan. And King Khan of King Khan and the Barbecue Show, King Khan and the Shrines, etc. And yeah, last year he came through Canada and apparently they recorded this album in a 12-hour session. So 12 hours, 12 years, new album. So we're going to hear a pair of tracks from this release.
Yeah, and it's 14 hits that don't quit. That's the name of the album. So that's more than a song per hour. That's incredible by mathematical standards. In this opening set, we're also going to hear some stuff, some solo stuff, I should say, from Bloodshot Bill, Polaris, The Revels. And we're going to start off with a track from a great album released also this year by Hot Garbage. We're going to play the track Look at My Phone from Precious Dream. And that's how we're starting out this episode of Revolution Rock. just before we get to that, we do want to remind you, we are here live in the studio, so if you want to reach out to us, feel free to phone us at 519-971-3630. And if you are in Detroit or around the world, you can also give us a call at 1-855-344-2526. That's 1-855-DIGCJAM.
I'm a son of a gun. Yes, I am son. I'm a son of a gun. Yes, I am son. Yeah. I remember how it was back when we were young, when I was just a little Indian son. I'm a lonely, loaded gun.
Intoxica. Come on.
What a great joke.
Anyways, we ended that set off with that song by The Revels.
Full of laughter.
This is a surf band from the 60s. A compilation came out in 94 because they had a song featured in the Pulp Fiction soundtrack /movie. Called Comanche, and this is another track of theirs called Intoxica. You heard that there's a lot of laughter in that one.
They're a very jovial band. I appreciate that.
Well, on that track, anyway.
On that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but great stuff there from the Revels, and more surf music preceding that. We actually heard from a Canadian surf rock band, a little bit more obscure from what I understand, a band called Polaris, and that's Polaris with an exclamation mark at the end.
That's right. We heard a track. I believe they had two releases and then a single /EP. We heard a song called Eurostar, and this was a band from Canada based out of Ottawa, and this came out in 97. This is really hard to find. I was able to track down a copy of it years ago, a few years ago actually, and yeah, that's a track called Eurostar. Cool, rare Canadian surf from the 90s, also kind of around that surf resurgence. When Pulp Fiction came out, a lot more surf like compilations and surf bands kind of seemed to crop up, pop up, I mean, and that was one of them.
Yeah, and then also you had Kids in the Hall, too, and with the music from Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet. There was a little bit of a resurgence with it at that point, too. So, yeah, there was an interest, kind of a boom, a new renaissance of surf music coming out at that point in the 90s. So that was really cool to hear. And one of those underlooked bands out of the number that were cropping up at that point. Great stuff from Polaris. And a person who is no stranger to surf music was somebody we heard before. That's Bloodshot Bill.
Yes, we heard a track from Bloodshot Bill's latest solo album, Psych-O-Billy. And we heard the track Tick, Tick, Love Call. Prior to that, we heard a pair of tracks from the Tandoori Knights, which is a band featuring Bloodshot Bill and King Khan. They have a new release that just came out, I believe, at the end of February, called 14 Hits That Don't Quit. And we heard two tracks. What did we hear?
We heard J'aime mes souvenirs, and then we also heard Going Down, and as you said, 14 Hits That Don't Quit was a session that lasted 12 hours and produced these 14 songs, which is pretty incredible. And this is the first time that the group has released anything collectively in 12 years, so that is a big deal. So great to hear more music coming out of both of these artists, but particularly together as the Tandoori Knights. And also, speaking of newer music, we heard something from Hot Garbage to start off the show.
Yeah, based out of Toronto. They put their latest album out on Mothland. They've actually played Windsor quite a few times, and they're currently on tour. I believe they're going to be playing Detroit, or maybe we just missed it. But a really cool band, and hopefully they come back through town. That would be cool to see them again. We heard something from Precious Dream, as mentioned, called Look at My Phone. Really great album, highly recommended. Cool Canadian psych from Toronto. And we're going to continue next with an anniversary set celebrating the very first album by the Smiths.
Yeah, this is a 40th anniversary. This album was released all the way ago in 1984, and it was a huge deal. I mean, Dave and I have talked about the Smiths and the importance they played in independent music, because the Smiths were very crucial. I mean, beyond for a lot of people who follow the band almost in a cult-like fashion, you know, like cleaving to Morrissey's words and Mars guitar lines, they broke the mold for what independent or underground bands were supposed to be, because there was a lot of noise, there was a lot of hardcore, and there was a lot of post-punk. And really, the idea of melody and chiming guitars really wasn't that present in a lot of music, with a few exceptions. REM, as contemporaries, were one of the few that were really doing that. The Clean would come just slightly later. But then with the Smiths, the focus was all on songcraft and was all on the melodicness of the music, which was a huge thing, probably unheard since, I'd say, the late 60s, early 70s.
And yeah, they definitely took a lot from that era. You know, obviously they were influenced by punk and all that stuff as well, but they were just different. You're right. They were different. They stood out, and people love them. They still love them. And we're going to play a couple tracks from their self-titled debut, but maybe before we should also mention that originally they recorded an album before this.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing. The Smiths were together for a little bit beforehand, and for the group, they had been doing the tour circuit for a bit. They finally got a deal with Sire at Rough Trade Records, and so that was going to culminate in their debut record. The Smiths had already been a word-of-mouth success, and the Enemy had published a lot about them. They had quite a few acclaimed BBC sessions leading up to this, which we might get to in a future episode.
Yeah.
But all of this basically leads to the fact that they ended up recording with Troy Tate. And it was in a particularly warm summer in England. There was actually a heat wave that broke out, which made the recording process inhospitable. It was so warm, the instruments actually couldn't stay in tune as the band was recording in this basement studio. And they just ended up with all this animosity between band members. There was this threat that the band was going to dissolve because of all the frustration they were having. And even though during an interview at one point, the lead singer Morrissey said he was very satisfied with what Troy Tate had produced, he said in another interview he hated it.
Yeah.
And both John Marr and I believe Joyce of the band also said they disliked the sound of it.
So they scrapped it.
What happened was they brought the recordings, or somebody, it may have been a manager or somebody else, brought the recordings to another producer, John Porter, who had his hand in some bigger post-punk successes, and they hoped they could salvage the recordings through remixing it. Porter listened and said, "We can't salvage this. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll re-record with the band." And he did, while the Smiths were touring. So during breaks on their tour itinerary, they recorded their debut album after having already recorded it with another producer. So there are points on this album, I will admit. The sounds of it aren't quite the sounds of what the Smiths would sound like later on future records. It's a kind of a more muscular sounding, a little bit more meatier sound for the band that usually was much more with chiming melodic sounds. That's what we're accustomed to. So really the production, I don't think, did the Smiths as much justice for their live sound or for what they would be known for later. But it was also recorded under duress,
yeah,
under a lot of stress. And it's a miracle this album even saw the light of day, considering the gestation story of it. And regardless, even if the production is not on par with what would happen later with the Smiths' self-produced records, you still have 11 incredible songs on here. And while I may argue some of the BBC sessions are actually better versions than the ones that ended up on this record, in the end, it's still an important debut record that changed the face of independent rock, especially in the UK. With the release of this album, we stopped hearing a wave of bands sounding like punk and sounding like post-punk and started sounding more melodic, caring more about chiming guitars and more about really the type of songcraft that you heard from Morrissey and Marr, and especially with Morrissey's lyrics on this. He dives into some pretty dark subject matter. Surprise for Morrissey? No, not really. But,
yeah,
you know, at the time, like, there was no precedent for this stuff. It wasn't like, oh, Morrissey singing about being miserable again.
We didn't have that yet.
And we should also mention on here, as with all the other Smiths recordings, it isn't just miserableism. There's quite a lot of humor in the songs as well, which I think temper them out. As we're going to hear, we're going to play a few songs from this and one song that's very important for the history of the Smiths as well, and also this album. But we're going to start off with one of the best songs on the record, "What Difference Does It Make?"
Heavy words are so lightly thrown, but still I live in front of a flood.